Hi there. This is John from the FreeGiftFromGod.com podcast. I'm continuing on in this Walking with Jesus session on this Salvation Road journey that we're going through. And today I want to extend on from where we were last time, where we were talking about freedom from sin. This time I want to talk about freedom from law. The objectives today is to understand why it is necessary to be separated and set free from the law to receive the righteousness of God. Also, to understand how freedom from law is received through baptism into Jesus Christ. And also to recognise that if we try to seek righteousness by keeping the law, we are severing ourselves from Christ and actually hindering our growth into the image of Jesus Christ. So in overview, this session extends the information from the past couple of lessons. To be righteous before God, we must be freed from sin. And he accomplished that in Jesus Christ by removing all of our past sins. But to remain righteous in his sight, we must not sin again. And so God has also removed the law, the breaking of which is sin, so that we cannot sin again. And this he did also through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has made the old covenant law obsolete and replaced it with the new covenant of grace. So the first scripture I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." A couple of sessions ago, I spoke about the fact that in Christ we receive the free gift of righteousness by faith from God. In order to be righteous, God had to remove our sin, because you cannot be a sinner and be righteous too. So we looked at freedom from sin in the last session. Now, it's one thing to have your past sins forgiven and taken away, but what about in the future if we mess up and do the wrong thing? God needed to find a way to deal with that too, in order to remain righteous in his eyes. He had to take away the power of sin. We see that in this verse, it's the law and commandments of Moses that are the power of sin. And we said that God had to take away the power of sin if we are to remain clean. So in order to establish us permanently as being righteous through Jesus Christ, God had to also remove the law, or rather remove us from the law, which is what he has done. He's taken away the power of sin so that we cannot break the law by removing us from the law through the death of Jesus. The next scripture I want to look at is 1 John 3, verses 4 to 10. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who does right is righteous, as he is righteous. He who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God commits sin, for God's nature abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. So John tells us here in verse 4 that everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness, because sin is lawlessness. That is, sin is the breaking of the law. Jesus came to take away our sins, and you will note in verse 6 that John says, "No one who abides in him sins." No one who is born of God through Jesus Christ sins, because God has taken away their sins and forgiven them. And what is sin? The breaking of the law is sin. So in order to fully ensure his children remain without sin, God has taken away the law also. You are not under law, but under grace. And grace is not the law or anything like the law. Now note also that John says that anyone who sins has neither seen nor known Christ, in verse 6. He says also that everyone who sins is of the devil, in verse 8. But also that no one born of God commits sin, because they are born of God. Now this makes a very interesting point. So do you call yourself a sinner? If you do, do you realise that you are preventing yourself from seeing Christ because you are rejecting the will of God, who has said you are not a sinner because he has set you free? That's what the scripture says. This is what the Bible says. These aren't my words. That's what the Bible says. Let's look at the next verse, Romans 3, verses 19 to 25. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by works of the law, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. That was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. The law is in full effect and full force to those who are under the law today. They will bear the full burden of the law if they do not follow it to the letter. And if you choose to be under law, know for a fact that you cannot be justified, that is, to be made righteous by doing the works of the law. It's only by faith that you can be justified or made righteous in the eyes of God. But as Paul says here, we are now justified through righteousness by faith, which is set apart from the law. All mankind has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in Jesus Christ, we now have the way to be set free from sin and set free from the law. Through God's grace, he has passed over our past sins, and by removing the law, he's taken away the power of sin that would condemn us as sinners in the future. We are truly free from sin for all time when we have faith in Jesus Christ. The next scripture is in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Now, before faith came, we were confined under the law, kept under restraint until faith should be revealed. So that the law was our custodian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The law was our custodian, or schoolmaster, as some other translations say. It was a law that was given to rein in sinfulness of man and to teach us right from wrong. But the law cannot make any person righteous. It can't make anyone perfect because it condemns people when they do wrong. It doesn't change their hearts and their minds to live in the image of God and Christ Jesus. However, through faith, we now have the ability to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. In our baptism, we have now put on, or taken on, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we now believe we are dead to sin and also dead to the law. We are no longer under the power of sin or the power of the law. It is the act of baptism and the faith we have in what God did by resurrecting the Lord, which we take on in our baptism in water, that brings us to God's righteousness. Righteousness by faith. We died to sin by taking on Jesus' death. And we also died to the law because the law ceases to exist for those who are dead, and we have died with Christ. This is a faith teaching which we must believe completely and wholeheartedly. The next scripture is in Acts 13, verses 32 to 39. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to our fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, today I have begotten thee. And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he spoke in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore he says also in another Psalm, You will not let your Holy One see corruption. For David, after he had served the counsel of God in his own generation, fell asleep, and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brethren, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him every one that believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. The law couldn't and cannot make you righteous. The law doesn't bring freedom, it brings bondage. In this section of Scripture, we see the disciples preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the last statement in verse 39, we see that in this gospel in Jesus Christ, everyone can be set free from all the things which the law could not free a person from. The law could not free you from sin, because the law defines sin. But Jesus can free you from sin, and he has. The law cannot transform the nature of a man to be like God, so that they think and act differently. But through Christ, we are being transformed into the image of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And because the law couldn't free us from sin, it had to be removed so that we are no longer bound to sin. Not that the law is sin, it's not. But the law defines sin for what it is and condemns people as sinners when they broke the law. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16, this is written, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility, abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he would create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and would reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end." Jesus has abolished the law with all of its commandments and ordinances so that we could stand free, stand sin-free before God. When Christ died, he passed through death to a new life in the Spirit and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. But the law cannot pass through death, so when he died, he was no longer under the law. Likewise, when we take on the death of Christ as our own, in accordance with the process and the will of God, we too are separated from the law through his death, because we too now believe we are dead to the law after we go through and believe the purpose of our baptism in water. In the flesh and body of Jesus, God was reconciling man to himself so that he could remove all of our sins and take away the law so that we would not sin again and thus be righteous by faith. This is the work of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, we see these words. "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices which are continually offered year after year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? If the worshippers had once been cleansed, they would no longer have any consciousness of sin. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin year after year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Lo, I have come to do thy will, O God, as it is written of me in the roll of the book.' When he said above, 'Thou hast neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law,' then he added, 'Lo, I have come to do thy will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now, the law, for all of its good points, and we must say that there are many, many good points in the law. It is, you know, wholly just and good, as is written elsewhere. But for all its good points, it could not make anyone perfect. And that's what God seeks for his people, to be perfect as he is perfect. And it says that over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. No amount of continual blood sacrifices and offerings will ever cleanse the conscience of a person so that they are perfect. That's why there had to be another way. There had to be a way established where God could make man perfect as he is perfect. And this is what he is doing through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He gives us righteousness by faith when we believe in the resurrection of Christ. And through baptism, he establishes the removal and freedom from sin and the removal of the law so that we do not continue in sin. These are free gifts to us even while we remain imperfect. He has called us perfect through faith and upholds us by grace until the work of the Holy Spirit is complete in us. For it's the Holy Spirit who has the job of making us perfect in the image of Christ. And as we see in this verse, that when Jesus came to do the will of the Father to establish the new covenant and all of these processes, the old covenant of the law is abolished. It's abolished. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6 says this. Do you not know, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only during his life? Thus a married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning the husband. Accordingly, she'll be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. Here, Paul describes how this freedom from law works. Just as a married woman is set free from the laws of marriage and is then free to remarry whomever she wants, so too we are set free from the law through the death of Christ. The woman did not die to be set free from the law of marriage, but the husband died. She received freedom from the law of marriage because he died. So too we receive freedom from law when we take on the death of Christ as our own death. He died so that we could be set free from the law. In this world, we are married, and I say that in inverted commas, we are married to the laws of sin and death. But when we die, that marriage contract is broken, and we are no longer under the power of sin and death. But rather than us physically dying, God has said we can take the death of Christ as if it were our own by faith, and he will regard us as having passed through our real death. And if we have died with Christ, then we are no longer under the law, because the law does not and cannot pass through death, as we will see in the next scripture, which is in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. See to it that no one makes a prey of you by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness of life in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And you are buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having cancelled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him. So what you see here is that we receive this death in Christ by baptism. When we are fully immersed in baptism, by faith, we believe we die with him and are then resurrected with him. This is what we must believe from now on after being baptized. We are no longer citizens of this world, but we have passed through death and are now citizens and new creations in the kingdom of God. And we see here also in verse 14 that God has cancelled the legal bond which stood against us. That is, he cancelled the law and set it aside. We are now no longer under the law when we hold to the faith in his working, which we receive through baptism. But we also see in verse 14 that just as Jesus was nailed up and died, the law did not and could not pass into and through death with him. The law ceased at death for Christ, and so too it ceases for us when we take on his death. And that's why the picture that he shows here is of the law being nailed to the cross. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, but when Jesus was nailed up, the law was nailed with him. Jesus died, he passed through death, and he was resurrected. But the law stayed nailed up where Jesus had been died. So that's the picture we need to keep in our mind. The law ends at death. We die with Christ, so the law ends for us when we die with him and take on his death through baptism. But then when we are raised through our baptism, raised out of the water, and resurrected with Christ, we are now new creations, new lives in Christ Jesus through faith, and we are members and part of the kingdom of God. The final scripture I want to look at, and this is an important one, is in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is bound to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. Finally here, what we see is the major issue with trying to remain under the law. If you're trying to live under the law, this is the biggest issue with trying to live in that state. Paul tells us that we have been set free from the law and that we need to stand fast to hold on to this freedom from law. He says that if we seek to follow under the law, then we are rejecting our freedom in Christ by submitting to the bondage that comes with the law. Worse than that, though, if we seek to follow under the law, we are rejecting Christ and we are severing ourselves from him. We're cutting ourselves off from Christ. Christ will be of no advantage to us if we choose to follow under the law, because we need to be separated from the law to remain separated from sin. If we follow the law, we're putting ourselves in the power of sin and severing ourselves from the righteousness of God that comes through Christ, through faith and through grace. And because we would be separated from Christ through seeking justification under the law, we have fallen away from God's grace, and we are nullifying the work of the Holy Spirit to be able to transform us into the image of Christ. These are powerful, powerful words, and why it's so critical and so important to get this stuff right. Absolutely important. So here's a couple of questions to consider. Do you still call yourself a sinner and thus reject the will of God who has set you free from sin and the law? Hard words, I know. Do you understand that the law had to be removed so that we could receive the righteousness by faith? Do you try to keep the law and condemn yourself when you fail? Don't do that. God has said you're not a sinner. Who are you to say that you are? Are you greater than God? Do you realise that by trying to live under the law, you are actually cutting yourself off, severing yourself from Jesus Christ? Tough questions to consider. Here's a call to action. If you are calling yourself a sinner, stop right now and recognise that when you were baptised into the death of Jesus Christ, you died to sin, you died to the law, so you are no longer bound by law and bound by sin. They're gone. Secondly, read closely the words of Romans chapter 7, which describes the process by which you are set free from law. Thirdly, read and study the whole of the book of Galatians, where Paul upbraids and goes crook at the Galatians church for rejecting the teachings of Christ and seeking instead to try and seek a righteousness under the law. And Paul really gets stuck into them. That's how important this stuff is. A quick prayer point. Spend a few moments in prayer now to thank the Lord for the freedom he has given you and the release from the bondages of sin and the law. If you still do not understand why and how this works, ask the Lord to reveal this truth to you fully. Or you could also send me an email if you'd like, if you want me to talk about this some more, if you have some questions and you would like to ask, please send me an email, john@freegiftfromgod.com, and that's where you'll get hold of me. In the next session, we're going to take one example of the freedom from law that we have in Christ, and it's a pretty important one today. Paul wrote to the Galatians because they had a problem with circumcision, which would put them back under the law. We don't tend to do that so much these days, but today the church is suffering with a different law that is doing the same thing, but for a much more sinister reason, because it's not that they're actually even applying the law correctly, they're using it in a twisted way, and they're bringing people into bondage. And what that is, it's the law of tithing. The law of tithing presents some very specific problems in the church today that brings Christians back under the law. It also brings them under a form of false teaching, which you'll find out in the next session. Instead, the process for raising funds under the new covenant is by free will giving. So in the next session, we're going to look at tithing versus giving. So that's it for this session this week. I hope you join me again next week. And until next week, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast signing off. And I hope that you have a blessed week.